Just days ago, the Black Vault released a story that confirmed the emails of Luis Elizondo have all been destroyed by the Department of Defense. This paper trail that is now gone for good would likely not only consist of emails, but also all attachments, scheduled tasks, calendars, chat transcripts, and other communications that spanned nearly a decade. After months of seeking the proper authorization for the DoD to do this, there was nothing found. When asked, the Pentagon couldn't cite authorization either, even after nearly 2 months of asking. In fact, documented protocol proves that this material should likely have been saved until at least October 4th, 2024, if not, possibly even being mandated to be saved indefinitely. With this crucial evidence seemingly destroyed, stepping into the vault today is Luis Elizondo himself. Now hear from him on what truly was lost, how he feels about it, and what the next steps may be. Stay tuned. You're about to journey inside the Black Vault. That's right, everybody. As always, thank you so much for tuning in and making this your podcast or your live stream of choice. For those subscribers to this channel, or if you're brand new, days ago, I posted a video which was connected to a very long article which I worked approximately about 3 years on. It took 2 months just to verify the lead of the story, which was simply this. The paper trail that will lead into better understanding ATIP, the Pentagon's UFO story, as it is largely referenced in the media, would consist of Luis Elizondo's emails. And finally, after months of pressing, they did confirm, the Pentagon and Department of Defense confirmed, it's all gone. Now, although that may sound like standard procedure, I, for months, tried to verify what would authorize them to do this, and I was unable to do it. Now, that doesn't mean much, but I was pressing the Pentagon at the exact same time, and they couldn't prove it either. Now, you've all heard my reaction to that, but more importantly, here's the man himself, Luis Elizondo. Luis, thank you so much for, again, stepping into the vault and spending some time with me here.
Yeah, John, my pleasure. Thank you very much. And a big thank you to your audience as well. I know a lot of folks have been kind of following this topic for quite some time and look forward to addressing any questions you or your listeners might have.
And I appreciate that. So like I mentioned, my audience has heard my reaction. A very quick backstory so they better understand. It was almost 2 months to the day when I picked up my cell phone and called you and said, okay, this is what they're pulling. I wanted you to be the first to know. You ended up being essentially the only one to know. You may have shared it with others, but in the sense I didn't talk about it at all. I want to start with those emails and get your reaction to this story. Let me take you back to 2 months ago. If I can ask you, were you aware of that, or was that new to you that your emails were destroyed according to the Department of Defense?
Well, it was a surprise, but not a surprise. You know, obviously, John, I've had two of the major portfolios I ran the last 10 years or so in the Pentagon was the UFO program, and then one that I haven't really talked much about, which is Guantanamo Bay. And clearly, from a perspective of not just posterity, but from a legal perspective, anything that I was engaged in involving the 9/11 commission trials is considered discoverable in a court of law. It's considered evidentiary. And so that must by law be preserved for posterity's sake. And there's no destroy 25 years. It stays around forever. So when you when you had indicated to me that the Pentagon begrudgingly admitted that my correspondence, my emails were destroyed. Obviously, I was very disappointed in that because, frankly, it's illegal in some cases, especially as it related to some of my work I was doing. But also disappointing because there are several categories of information that I was involved with that are specifically exempt from that destroy on, you know, let's say 2 or 5 or 10 years. Yeah, there you have it. Am I surprised? You know, again, not really. I am, because that's such a bold act for them to do. I mean, at that point, it's, you know, they say, oh, yeah, Lou had nothing to do with ATIP. Okay, well, where's this emails? Oh, we don't have them. So, you know, it's kind of this weird, you know, double negative, right? In one case, you're saying that ATIP wasn't real and we never studied UFOs and I wasn't part of it. On the second half, you turn around and say, oh, well, we don't have any of his emails. You know, so it's just, it's kind of bizarre.
Where I have stated publicly that this goes to the heart and core and soul of why I do what I do for 25 years. When I started when I was 15, I realized then there were two main aspects that drove me. It was transparency and preservation. And with this particular case, the Department of Defense showed neither. They obviously did not want to give me these emails. I have at least had at least 8 FOIA requests with various keywords going for this material. But what was amazing to me was that even away from ATIP, was that office that you directed, called the National Program Special Management Staff, or NPSMS, you had mentioned the Gitmo portion of that. Can I ask you, away from ATIP, UFOs, and all of that, with that particular office, can you mention anything else that office did?
I have to be very careful because it was very, very sensitive. I think one of my last evals may have been, I don't know if it was released or someone had a copy of it, but in there you can see that it was definitely nuanced. It was a program that supported the White House and the National Security Council. Obviously, that information to be just willy-nilly destroyed by the DOD when we're talking about information that's beyond just Title 10 is frankly silly. And I'll tell you something too, John, from my perspective. Look, we haven't always necessarily agreed on everything, and we can agree to disagree. But let me tell you the one thing that I've always respected about you. You are one of the most tenacious and probably one of the most global experts on the FOIA process. And why is that important? Because FOIA isn't just a privilege. It's a right. It's an act. It's a law that was established by Congress to make sure that there is transparency within the government. Okay, that is a law that was passed by Congress. So basically, it's not an option. It's not a, well, you can if you want to. No, you must comply with FOIA. Mm-hmm. And what I'm seeing here, besides this obfuscation and these silly games they keep playing, is that they are taking a law and they're making a mockery of it. They're interjecting organizations and people into that calculus that are deliberately not supposed to be in there. They are deleting information, which, frankly, between you and me, I don't believe they've deleted anything. Yeah. I think it's just extremely damning and incriminating, so they don't want it to come out. It's they're making a mockery of law. So at that point, you have to ask yourself, John, when an organization in the United States who is bound to uphold the law is now breaking the law, okay, is that organization, are those people that are in those positions, do they represent the will of the government? Do they represent the will of the people in the United States? And if the answer is no on both, then are they even legitimately in charge of anything? Mm-hmm. That's my concern here, John. This is what exercises me so much, that there are people that are willfully trouncing on might as well be the Constitution, because these are laws of the land. They're not flexible. It's not like a rule that you can bend the rule.
Yeah.
A law you don't. And you of all people, I'm sure probably are frustrated by this. But for me, as a patriot and somebody who served his country in uniform, you know, I fought against tyranny over in the battlefields of the desert and jungles and whatnot, only to find that same tyranny now within the halls of the Pentagon. That is problematic. That is a true threat. If there was ever a threat, is somebody absconding with our freedoms and basically tearing up whatever rules or laws of FOIA that they think you know don't apply to them. These laws apply to everybody, yeah, equally, and especially if you're in a position of in the government. You know.
Well, I appreciate those kind words about my work, and when I say that, it really does go to the core of why I do this. It truly does. And going back to the question I asked you about your office, I know that you get a lot of flack, and I'm happy to say it was never flack from me on this point. That you know, you do have those security oaths and NDAs and clearances where you can't talk about it. And that was what was very evident to me about that office, because there was very little to dig up. And trust me, I've tried since 2000, whatever it was, when that
I have no doubt, John. Yeah. I have no doubt.
But it was those Navy court transcripts that came up. And I won't push you on it, because I know it is sensitive and I know it's still ongoing. But for Khalid Sheikh Mohammed to reference your office in October of 2017, it's clear that whatever you were doing within that office was in dealing with special access programs, and also giving what appeared from the transcripts, the translator for Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, access to the information for him to properly translate for the defense. And there was a problem with the judge because they had lost their SAP access. So for me to see that, again, away from the ATIP story, that made me realize a couple years ago, okay, this guy was into, you know, some highly classified material programs, and obviously the one that was spearheading that effort for others to gain access to those special access programs.
Well, that's honestly, John, what landed me on the naughty boy list with ISIS and Al-Qaeda, that I was informed that I was wound up being put on the kill list, which was not a very good day in the Elizondo house, hold, I can assure you. Fortunately for me, I just wound up on being on some sort of kill list where other people actually, you know, lost their lives. So yeah. I'm definitely not saying that the line of work was, you know, anything more dangerous than anybody else, but it did put me in a situation where, it still is technically, I'm still, you know, on that naughty list, if you will, which has not been easy for my family, for sure.
Sure. And I totally understand that. And I'm sorry to hear that, because I know that's obviously not easy for you, your family, and anyone connected to you. So with that, though, what I wanted my audience to understand is the sensitivity behind this material that stretches well beyond ATIP. I know I keep saying that, but it's like this has become such a bigger issue now. And that is why I got so attached to this a couple months ago, when I realized they were playing that card and they were saying, hey, look, for 3 years you fought for these records, and oh, by the way, we don't have them. Let me point out one thing that I'm not sure if I told you this privately, or if maybe you read it in the email, but I want you to react to the importance of this. Before, they told me that essentially your documents were destroyed. And I want to also be clear and clarify, that's not just emails. By the records retention schedule, what goes along with that would be all of the attachments, all of the what they call text communications. And there was kind of a short list of things that are, it's not just email, like, hey, you want to go have lunch today to one of your colleagues. You know, you're talking about the attachments and everything that goes along with it. When I started getting these no records denials, but never did they mention that your stuff was destroyed, I verified, triple checked, that they searched CIPRNet, NIPRNet, and JWICS to ensure that I would get everything. They wrote back and said yes, never once indicating that no account existed or that it was destroyed.
Can you? So that's either one of two things, John. Either A, they still had the records back then, and they were, knowing that you were interested in them, said, yes, we searched through all this stuff. No records of that specific request pops in the system. And knowing that they're going to go ahead and destroy these files, or the other option is they were already gone and they were just stringing you along. But yeah. Either way, something smells fishy. Either those emails were there, and then once you won your appeal, they came back and said, oh, nothing to see here.
Yeah.
Or those files already were destroyed, which they shouldn't have been. And they were just saying, yeah, nothing to see here. Just move along. We looked there. We couldn't find anything, knowing full well that they were already destroyed. But either way, it's no bueno. Someone yeah. has been manipulating the FOIA process, in my opinion.
Have you had a reaction, not only from the social media world, because this article did become very popular very quickly within that world, but obviously you're dealing with the media, the mainstream media, like on a yeah. hourly basis. Every time I turn on the television and there's a UFO story, you are right there on camera. You, I hope, will have an upcoming vacation soon and get some sleep, because
me too.
yeah. Again, there's not 36 hours in a day, but you seemingly have squeezed that out. What is the reaction, if any, to people that you've been talking to in the mainstream, and those that have kind of tackled, like, for example, Gotti Schwartz, who I have a lot of respect for with NBC, he seems to really dig, and he brought out that Harry Reid endorsement letter of you. Mm-hmm. And obviously Harry Reid has endorsed you since 2019, I think was the first time publicly, but now it's, you know, Harry Reid's letterhead and so on and so forth. And that was Gotti Schwartz. And with his investigative journalism, he just kept pushing. And I respect that. Is there a reaction that you've been getting from this?
Yeah. Yeah. You started a firestorm, John. I mean, you've had everybody from Politico to CNN, Fox News, NBC, they're all looking at things right now, based upon your article. That's something I could never publish. Obviously one of the things I always want to do is make sure I never come across as self-serving, because I don't do it for me. I do it for a much more sacred reason. And for me, it's to get the truth out to the American people. With that said, you hit on something that really struck a chord with some people in the mainstream media, and that is, okay, are we dealing yet with another iteration of the Pentagon Papers? Are we dealing yet with another issue like we did with Watergate, where all of a sudden elements in the government are running rogue and doing things that they shouldn't have? And I think that's given a lot of people some concern, because if they're going to lie about this, what else are they going to lie about?
Right.
I think that has struck a chord in certain elements within the mainstream media, as it should.
Yeah.
Because once again, there is a requirement. The Public Affairs Office is enjoined to dialogue with the media. Okay. We have a First Amendment right for freedom of speech, and of course you have freedom of the press. These are inalienable rights that we hold very dear to us. And when elements in the government that are supposed to be fair and transparent don't behave that way, then you've got a problem. In the past, there's been attempts by these offices to mislead the press, and it's never worked out well for the government to do that. Ultimately, the government has to be reminded that it serves the will of the people, not the other way around.
And why I wanted to ask you that question kind of segues into the other thing that I wanted to catch up with you on, was the OIG investigation by the DOD. Now, what we know publicly is that they sent out a memo that they are evaluating, that they went out of their way to not call it an investigation, but rather an evaluation of how the DOD has handled the UAP topic. Now, there's a lot of rumors out there, but why I wanted to ask about the mainstream media about this is because part of those rumors are that, and maybe this is more verified fact now, but I kind of felt more as a rumor, that this was about how you were being treated and essentially targeted by some of these pointed statements in the last couple of years. Since I have
you. Well, it's true. it's true that they were targeting me and still do.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they manipulated and used good people to do it, which is for me probably the most disappointing piece of this. You know, people that are truly just trying to find the facts and the truth were being misled willfully by a small cadre, if you will, or group of individuals at the Pentagon. And by the way, that does not represent the whole Pentagon. I just want to make this clear. Mm-hmm. There are wonderful, fine men and women working every day for that organization, and 99% of it is just an exceptional organization. The problem is, as you know, it takes one bad apple to spoil the rest. And you know, that's what's happened. And the Pentagon's been put into a position where it's made public statements based upon the input of a couple individuals. And now it's coming back to bite them.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, just be forthcoming and truthful from the beginning, they try to be clever. And unfortunately, it's look, it's coming out one way or the other. And guys like you who are FOIA experts, eventually anything that is in the government's possession regarding that's unclassified, especially like this, like an IG, you know, don't think that's not going to be made public.
Yeah.
It has to be made public at some point. So it doesn't do anybody any good to try to lie right now. That's the last thing you want to do. And that's why having this IG evaluation, I think, is so important, because it's a bit of a release valve. You know, I'm a gearhead, right? So I'm always looking in terms of cars. Well, think of a wastegate on the turbo system. A wastegate is there to disperse any overpressure in the turbo system, right? So you don't blow up the engine. This, I think, IG evaluation is very much the same way. It's a wastegate. It's a way to allow some of that pressure to be released in an appropriate way. That is the purpose of the Inspector General, is to conduct reviews, inquiries, investigations, and then provide those recommendations and those findings to the Secretary of Defense so they can fix it. That's what the Inspector General does. And hopefully the IG evaluation here will do the same thing. I have full faith and confidence in the IG right now. I've had a chance to work with them in the past. I always found them very professional. These are also trained investigators, and some are auditors, some are actual law enforcement investigators type in the intelligence community. But they've got a tough job, you know, and they're supposed to be fair and impartial and objective. And so far, that's what I've seen with my experience with the DOD IG.
So when I reached out to them, I was trying to fish around, as I usually do, see what kind of fish I could catch. But I had asked them, you know, is part of the angle, is the angle, what is it with this evaluation? Would that be you? And I got Glomar'd. And for those who don't know what Glomar is, they said, we can neither confirm nor deny any involvement with Mr. Luis Elizondo. So where I say the rumor is, I read Brian Bender's piece about this, made reference to your IG complaint that you had submitted. I was surprised to see all that come out, but not surprised. I was happy because, as you noted, a lot of stuff will come out with that. So then can I ask you outright, is the evaluation that was announced, is that based on your complaint, or is that separate from this eval?
I cannot speak on behalf of the government. I think there's two things going on. I think there's an honest attempt, an evaluation to determine what, if anything, went wrong over the last 3 years in the Pentagon's communication. Now that you've got this report due to Congress, there's a lot of pressure. And at some point, people are going to start asking some very difficult questions, right? Doesn't matter what this report says. At some point, they're going to come back and say, hey, Pentagon, I thought you said there was nothing to see here. Or, hey, Pentagon, I thought you said there was something to see here. Either way, they're in a corner, and the IG is a good way for somebody who's in a position of leadership like the secretary to say, look, I realize there were some inconsistencies, and we deliberately did this IG evaluation to see where things went wrong. Okay, that's a prudent thing to do. That's something, honestly, if I was in charge, I would do that as well. I would do a self-initiated IG evaluation. Now, are there elements of an IG complaint, we'll call it a complaint, that has been received by the DOD IG? yes, that is also true. I'm not going to go into any specifics because I want the government, the ability for the government to do its job without outside interference. You know, I don't want to put, I don't want to back up the government anymore into a corner than they're already in.
Yeah.
You know, I've been trying to offer
on their own. Yeah, they're doing a great job.
And I'm trying to help them with a way out, right? I've been for the last 3 years saying, guys, come on, you don't have to be this way. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you.
Yeah.
I'm the one guy that's your friend in this. I mean, it is true that I spoke with the DOD IG again. I've been asked, let me tell you what the DOD IG told me. Please do not elaborate on any of the questions that that we discussed or the dialogue. So that is what they asked, and I'm going to respect their request on that until at some point, I'm given the ability to speak more freely about it.
When they sent the memo out, I read it anyway, but maybe it was incorrectly read, that they were going to like kind of have this wrapped up by June, that it was a evaluation that they were doing in May. Do you have any indication when that eval would be over?
Brother, I can't imagine any IG evaluation that's done in 30 days.
Sure.
Ever. Maybe 30 months, but I don't know. And unless they already have a preconceived conclusion of what they want to say, I don't see how that's possible.
I got
that,
you.
That to me is, that would almost be a worse indictment on the government, right? Because you can't do a, first of all, COVID has just now allowed some of these people to go back to their office, right? So they haven't even been allowed in their offices until recently. So I'm not sure, you know, you're going to do an IG evaluation in 30. I mean, maybe they drop everything that they're doing. And this is their only job, which is, I don't think the case. I know that's not the case, but you know.
Yeah, it just the way that it read, it seemed like they were going to do this evaluation, and then again, partly an assumption on my part, but now we're in June when this report was going to come along. So I was thinking, you know, okay, what are they trying to do? Do you feel that this is potentially going to be a delay for this UAP report, or do you believe that those are maybe two separate issues?
I think they're two separate issues. I hope that the UAP report is delayed. I don't think it will be. And from my understanding, it's going to be rather underwhelming, which is really a shame. My hope is that there'll be a follow-on report. You know, because honestly, 16 pages, 17 pages isn't really enough to have a comprehensive report of the last, you know, 70, 80, 90 years worth of military sightings and documentation that exists. But, you know, I'm not in DC right now. So not up to me.
Now, you have said that you were, and help me with the correct word, but either consulting or working with or communicating with those that are creating this report or the task force or both.
I am doing my best to facilitate that process in whatever capacity that I am useful, without imposing my own will. You know, I have been quietly doing my best to facilitate. It's in everybody's interest, you know, to have a fair and comprehensive report, because not only does Congress expect it, but that's what they deserve, and ultimately, so do the American people. So, you know, don't. You've already had 70 years to screw this up. Don't screw it up anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, for the love of God, at this point, here's your chance to get this monkey off your, this now 800-pound gorilla that's been sitting on your back.
Yeah.
You know, you really want to carry that around for another decade or two? Don't do it. This is the time to do it right. And you know, everybody at this point we're all adults. We can handle the truth.
My biggest fear, not trying to be a skeptic, but rather looking back at history and the Condon Report, and you know, I did this article about essentially comparing how this is unfolding right now and how it has unfolded the last few years, and then how it unfolded in the 1960s. I eagerly await this report, but I fear that we are at what I call a Condon Report 2.0, meaning, you know, this material that leaked out, which I want to ask you as one of my last questions here as we wrap up. But this material that leaked out, I fear that they put that in there essentially as fodder for saying, oh, well, we know what these things are. We never we never said that they were unidentified, which is true. And I fear that that is playing a role in this, but we haven't seen that chapter written yet. Do you believe that that's a possibility?
Well, I'll tell you, look, and I'm not, let me preface this one way, John, because what I'm about to say, some people are going to look at, they're going to say, you know, who the hell are you, Lou, to say that? But with all due respect, the Condon report didn't have, it didn't have Christopher Mellon. It didn't have Alex Dietrich. It didn't have Dave Fravor. It didn't have Jim Slate. It didn't have Ryan Graves. It didn't have me. This is, you know, if they try to pull something like that, this is, I've said this before, then they're going to have a real issue on their hands, because that's going to force guys like me who don't want to do it, but I will run for Congress, and I will make sure that if I get in a seat there, I will make sure total transparency on everything, not just UAPs, all the other crap that I know that goes on behind these closed doors. I will make sure that people come to heel on that, and that the will of the American people will be represented, period. I can assure you that there are elements in the Pentagon right now that does not want a cat like me sitting in Congress. Mm-hmm. I promise you, as sure as the sun will rise tomorrow, because I'm not a politician. Mm-hmm. I never have been. I don't give a damn about politics. I care about serving the will of the American people. And you damn well better believe I will do it. I will go in there, and I will do what is necessary to make sure that we are never in this situation again. I will hold every single person accountable who's behind this kind of crap.
You bring up an excellent point. Condon didn't have individuals such as yourself, but in fairness, they had others. I feel Condon was essentially an effort to ignore those important voices then. And again, just to kind of throw the question at you in a different way, I believe their intent was to dismiss all of that to create a narrative that they wanted. So the Dietrichs, the Fravors, and all of that be darned, they had an objective, and that objective was, let's wipe ourselves clean of this. And the Condon Committee, despite the voices they had back then, even a guy on the inside, Dr. J. Allen Hynek, who saw firsthand and went from a skeptic to a believer, essentially, that those voices were just completely ignored. And they said, no scientific merit to continue this. We're done.
John, the only way this is going to stop, if, like I said before, someone puts a bullet in my head, if I even suspect that the government is not being, when I say government, elements in the government are not being forthcoming with the American people, I will continue to pursue this doggedly and vocally until the cows come home. I'm telling you, I feel the same. Chris is the same way. We're not giving up. Mm-hmm. I know what I've seen, and same with those people that I served. I took an oath, you know, to represent the will of the American people, to defend this country from all enemies, foreign and domestic. That oath has never changed, and I'll be damned if I'm going to sit back and let a bunch of bureaucrats, you know, abscond with that responsibility to be fair and transparent with the American people. This is what I've said before. The American government, we do not work for the American government. The American government works for us. And we must be prepared to tell the government what we expect of it. Don't sit back and wait around and let them tell us, oh, here's what you can have. Bullshit, man. That's not the way this works. Mm-hmm. You represent us. Don't ever forget that, because the day you no longer represent us, you're gone. You're out, because you're no longer legitimate. Your authority is no longer legitimate. So it is important that we gently remind our friends in the government, those elements that forget their oath to the American people, and remind them of their responsibilities, and make sure they don't confuse that responsibility with privilege, right? Sometimes when we get senior enough, we start getting complacent. We start thinking we deserve it. No, you don't deserve it. No, you're there to serve us, the people. And, you know, this is why I said, if I get pissed off enough, man, you know, last thing I want to do is get back into the fray of things. I need that like a hole in the head. I just want to be left alone and retire. There's a reason why I live in the middle of nowhere, Wyoming. Mm-hmm. But, you know, hell, man, if I got to put my boots back on, you know, I will. I'll be willing to do that, so we can finally get the answers that the American people deserve. And I'm not talking about, you know, relinquishing classified information. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is just be open and honest with the American people and don't deceive them. Whatever you do, the last thing, if you don't want to talk about it, fine, say no comment. But for the love of God, don't go out and start lying to the American people, because that's the kind of thing that you know, that's not just going to make me angry. That's going to make a whole lot of people angry.
Yeah. The last question I have for you before we wrap up here is something that has fascinated me in the last month or so, which is these the leaked material that's coming out. We've got various either videos.
John, let me say something. I forgot here, by the way, in case anybody misunderstands anything I'm saying here. At no time do I ever advocate violence. Okay, that is not what I'm saying here. So I don't want people to say, "Yeah, Lou's going to go in and you know." In many cases, I'm speaking proverbially when I say I'm going to go in and clean house. That is using the instruments and the policies that are already available to people who are in a position of power. Okay, I don't ever. I don't want anybody to misconstrue what I'm saying. Is that I'm trying to advocate for any type of violent act, because I am not. That is not at all the purpose of this. A true democracy is one that is won through words. And not violence. So I just want to preface that real quick, just so anybody has any in the back of their mind, you know, that when I say I'm going to put my boots on, I don't mean I'm going to put my boots on and carry a machine gun. What I mean, yeah. I'm going to put my boots on and carry a billfold and a pen.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
I didn't take it that way, but I appreciate your clarification. I think the restraint you've had in the last couple of years kind of speaks for itself, but I appreciate the clarification. But so the last question here, and then I know I have to let you go, but the leaked material, the videos, some briefing slides, and the swiftness that the Pentagon is confirming the authenticity taken by U.S. Navy, utilized by UAPTF, but will not comment on the designation. What are your thoughts about this material leaking out, and what are we looking at?
I think we've got a very much of a schizophrenic approach right now by elements within the Pentagon. I think they've been beat up so bad on their contradictory statements that now they're almost overeager to answer whatever they can, what's considered an easy pitch by the media. If there's a video that comes out, rather than delay and look foolish, they say, yeah, that was one of ours. Yep. We're not going to talk about it, but that was one of ours. It's almost reflexive. You know, imagine sitting there at a batting cage, right? And you're in the 100-mile-an-hour pitch batting cage. But instead of one ball, you've got about 10 of these machines launching balls at you constantly. And I think that's what's happening. Now that the media has smelled proverbial blood and realizes the inconsistent nature of some of the Pentagon's responses, you know, they're not letting up. And I mean, you're proof in the pudding, man. I mean, every time someone utters anything in the Pentagon, you're boom, you're filing FOIAs, man. You want everything, you know. And I'm sure that scares the hell out of them. And I know that the last thing they want to do is be caught flat-footed again. So I think they're probably just swinging the bat at anything that comes to them. Right at this point, is probably almost reflexive. Just hit it. Hopefully you hit it. Who cares if it's a first base, second base home run, or a foul ball? Just hit the ball.
Yeah. And just a quick follow-up to that. We know the FLIR, Gimbal, and Go Fast videos, when they came out, it took a little bit of time, but they eventually had given the designation of unidentified or UAP. We know then by that designation is not in and of itself a classified designation. But they won't do it with these. Do you feel, and then I promise I'll let you go, do you feel that this leaked material is truly, in your opinion, a designated UAP? And if so, why won't the government say it?
I have to be careful, because I've been privy to information. I still have my security clearance, and so I don't want to compromise anything that could be considered sensitive. So I'm not going to comment on the specific videos that you're referring to, the recent ones that came out. I know that the government has already stated their position that they are real, and I can tell you that they're real. I can tell you that now, because the government has said that. But I really can't go into any more context. Now, is it possible that there is somebody trying to throw a bunch of we call it cat litter? You don't know if you have a cat, if you have a pet cat, but you know, cats will sometimes get a little boisterous in those sandboxes and start throwing cat litter all over the place.
Yeah, I have that problem.
So, you know, is this, is this an attempt for the Pentagon to throw a little cat litter and, you know, try to throw people off the scent, so to speak? It's possible. I don't think so. I don't think they're quite, forgive me for saying this, I don't think they're that sophisticated. I think they're too much in react mode right now. Mm-hmm. And I think what you're seeing is a disjointed approach to this topic. There are some people saying, yeah, we need to be forthcoming. There's other people saying, no, don't be forthcoming, or be forthcoming about that, but not about this. I suspect that maybe what's going on. Again, I don't want to comment specifically on those last videos simply because I'm not at liberty to discuss those. Once the government has acknowledged further, more details, then I will be able to as well. But until that happens, I simply can't do that.
Sure. Fair enough. And I know that you probably have a light scheduled day of 8,700 interviews ahead of you. So I'm at the end of my slot. But listen, I mean it. Thank you for your reaction to the email story. I'm eager to see how this plays out, because I think of anything and everything that I've written about ATIP, UFOs, yourself, albeit some not so popular, but this I believe is the most important. And I truly, truly, truly feel that there is much more to this story to come. And I have this gut feeling that you and I will probably have some more things to talk about. Hopefully you'll give me some more time when it allows. But thank you so,
John,
so much.
I'm going to share something with you.
Sure.
A quick observation, which this is coming from some colleagues and friends of mine in the Pentagon. You are one of the few people that is truly feared within public affairs office. I'm not kidding. I've had people call me and say, you're not going to believe what just came across my desk, Lou. I am not kidding. So it's, you're making a difference. Wow. It's resonating. You are every bit as part of this, equation for disclosure as anybody else. I know you kind of make a distinction between mainstream media and you, but I'm not sure. I think that line is blurred a lot. I think a lot of their stories and what they have is based upon your work. And all I can say is, you know, keep it up, man. It's making a difference. I'm hearing a lot of good things in the Pentagon because of the pressure you're putting on people.
Well, that's awesome and motivating. So thanks for letting me know that. And again, thanks for your time. We'll definitely talk soon. So you take care of yourself, your family as well. Be safe out there and have a great time with those 8,700 interviews today.
You got it, John. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank you all for listening and watching. This is John Greenwald Jr. signing off. And we'll see you next time.